By the Waters of Liverpool, written by Helen Forrester and read by Leanne Rose Bunce.
Chapter 1. I was 17 going on 18, and I'd never been kissed by a man. It was not surprising. Who would want to court the favours of a gaunt, smelly beanpole? I was 5'4" tall, and that was real height in underfed Liverpool. As I strode primly along Lime Street on my way to evening school, the men who hung about the entrances of the cinemas hardly spared me a glance. I was most unflatteringly safe. And this, in a world where women still took it for granted that they would get married, was very depressing. Girls did not look for careers. They worked until they got married. If a woman was not loved and cherished by a man, she must be hopelessly ugly, or there must be something else wrong with her. I tried not to care that no young man had so much as winked at me. I stuck my proud Forrester nose in the air and vowed to make a career for myself as a social worker in the charity which employed me. Dorothy Parker, the famous American writer, had once remarked that men seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses, and I had a pair of two small, horn-rimmed spectacles perched on my nose. There was nobody to suggest to a shy, short-sighted girl that she might occasionally take off the ugly impediment to show the sad green eyes behind. "Perhaps your yellow skin will improve as you get older," my childhood nanny Edith had suggested, and she scrubbed my face harder still with Pears Preparing to be a Beautiful Lady soap. To no purpose. All time and our subsequent poverty had done was to add a revolting array of acne spots, spots that were made worse by the lack of soap, hot water and clean towels at home. And here was the year 1937 rolling along. Soon I would be 18. And nobody, I felt, really cared what happened to me. To my mother I was a trying daughter who brought in a wage each week, to the rest of the family a pair of hands, very useful for cooking and darning socks. It was 7 years since father had gone suddenly bankrupt, plunging us into a poverty so great that I was frequently surprised that the 9 of us had survived it, 7 skinny children, of whom I was the eldest, and 2 equally thin parents. I sighed as I trudged up the hill. Though mother and father now both had work, they were very poor managers, and we were still cold and hungry most of the time, surrounded by the unpleasant odour of neglect and poor nutrition. I handed my small wages to mother every payday, except for 3 shillings and 6p. This totally inadequate sum was supposed to clothe me, pay for lunches and tram fares, make up, and all the small things a girl at work was expected to have. Mother was bent on making me give up my employment and once again stay at home to keep house, something I dreaded. So she made it as difficult as possible for me to go to work. I found pupils to coach in shorthand in the evenings, but I earned very little because my free time was extremely limited. I was doing very well at evening school, I comforted myself. One day I might be promoted and earn enough to live on. My ugly, kind bookkeeping teacher had assured me recently that, if I took one more course, I would be able to become a bookkeeper. She had added that parents were always glad of a girl at home who brought in a wage. It contributed to their comfort in their old age. She had put into words something I dreaded, something only a husband could save me from. I could be faced with spending the rest of my life maintaining and waiting on 2 irritable, shiftless, nagging parents, the usual fate of the daughter who did not marry. Because I was plain and shy and frightened of my mother, I knew I could be bullied into being a nobody, a nothing. Some women with gentle parents found their care a labour of love, not me. I knew I would be crushed as flat as a shadow. I had already had a spell as a housekeeper, from the age of 11 until I was 15. It had been a nightmare, looking after 6 young children and 2 quarrelling parents. Mother had, before father's bankruptcy, never had to care entirely for her children.